This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 197 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, July 1st, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, we're doing another show yet again when the sun's still up. How about that? We're on a streak here.
I know. I don't know what to do on Wednesday nights now. I got to go do something. You know. It's nice. Today is the theme show.
Yeah, so today we have a rocking full house today. I figured it was time that we bring on some members of the theme review team. So in today's show, we're going to learn what the team is, what their goal is, what they do, and we have about four members of the team to sort of give us insight into both their individual efforts and what the team overall is doing and their goals. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce those four people here on the panel today. And we'll start off on my left and go to my right. So first off is Chip Bennett. Chip, how you doing? Tell us who you are, where you are, and what you do on the team.
Well, my name is Chip Bennett. I'm a theme review team admin. I live in Indiana, but I travel mostly around the Midwest for work. I happen to be in beautiful, rainy Ann Arbor, Michigan today.
Okay, cool. It's boy, after all the rain we've had, it's sunny here in Ohio. So pretty nice here. Edward, Casey, how about yourself?
Hey, Jeff. Well, I've been with the theme review team since the beginning. Do what I can when I can. And I'm calling in from Mississauga, Ontario, Canada at the moment.
Nice, across the border. And Jose, tell us who you are, where you are, and what you do for the team. We seem to have lost Jose again. So if he comes back, we'll go back towards him. But Tammy Lister, now it's your turn. You're up.
Hi, my name is Tammy Lister, and I live in Brighton and Hove, which is in England, and as far south as you can go before you hit the sea. I am one of the admins, which pretty much, rather than being a fancy title, means I do things like that make blog posts, and I just try and keep everyone informed.
Okay, awesome. And you are employed, are you still currently employed by Automattic, and this is part of your contribution to WordPress?
I am. I do one day a week for Automattic, and I am actually a wall wrangler is my job title at Automattic.
Ah, awesome. Okay. So let's see. Well, we have four people here, and I'm not sure who to direct my questions to, so I guess whoever chimes in first. But I'll start with you, Tammy. What is the goal of the theme review team? Why does it exist?
I think the goal is changing. So if you'd have asked me this question probably about 6 months ago, I would have given you a different answer. So the goal primarily is to just make sure that when you go and get a theme that it's free, you can guarantee that it's going to work on your site. That's kind of the simplest goal, but it has an awful lot tied in with that. Our goal and goals and role is changing now, which I think is exciting because the world of themes is actually changing. But that really boils down to what the simple point of our role is. And I think wrapped into that, it's to kind of educate and also just make people aware of theming.
Awesome. Okay. And how do you feel you folks have progressed in terms of those goals?
Is that to me or to someone else?
Okay. I'll stick with you.
Okay, stick with me. Okay. So how do I feel we progressed with those goals? I think we're in an extremely exciting time because I think all bets are kind of off is the phrase that I would use as to what we can do. I think also what we do has to evolve because themes aren't in the same place that they were in, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Theming is different, and that's part of the reason why I like being a themer.
So Chip, maybe you can weigh in on this. Describe the process theme authors go through when submitting a theme to the directory.
Should I include the weeping, gnashing of teeth, and Hail Marys? Or...
Sure.
So eye rolls don't make a sound.
So essentially, someone develops a theme and they want to contribute that theme to the WordPress community, and they would want to upload it to the theme directory. So the process in a nutshell would be to kind of test your theme before you upload it. There are a lot of tools available to do that, which I'm sure we can discuss in more detail. But check the theme against the requirements, use tools that are provided, and then you go to the theme directory, hit the upload link, you upload your zip file. It gets scanned through some automated checkers. If it passes those, then a theme track ticket is generated. That ticket goes into a review queue where it waits to be reviewed by an actual human being, which takes, unfortunately, several weeks at the moment. It's kind of our ongoing battle to reduce that time. Once it's reviewed, the person who reviews it will leave some notes in the ticket. They'll leave the ticket open, allow the developer a chance to respond, to upload a fix, revision, to address whatever issues may have been found in the review. When that new revision is uploaded again using the same uploader, it gets appended to that ticket, which is a major change for us. Originally, every time somebody submitted a ticket, it would generate, or submitted a theme, it would generate a new ticket and start the whole process over again. So at least now, that whole review process continues in the same ticket and provides some continuity and hopefully goes a little faster for the developer and the reviewer. Once that theme meets all of the review requirements, the reviewer will mark it as approved. It goes into a queue for admins to do kind of a final check, look for any major issues. Once it passes that, the admin marks it as live, and then it's in the directory, and people are able to search for it and download it.
And so, Chip, in your review process, can you explain kind of some of the things that you look at within a theme that would garner you sending it back to a developer or something like that? How deep do you get with these?
Well, I'll speak first from the admin perspective, since we're doing kind of the final check. We're looking for the major things, so it may be helpful to find what those are. The first biggest one, one of the most important ones, is license. Everything that's available on WordPress.org must be 100% compliant with GPL. So with themes, that's not only the theme itself, but anything that the theme may bundle. It uses images. Those images need to be GPL compliant. JavaScripts, fonts, anything that might go into a theme, all that has to be GPL compliant. So we have to check that. We have to make sure that it's properly attributed for a copyright and license so we can verify that it's GPL compliant. Aside from that, we'll look for, is there anything obviously spammy? Fortunately, it's not as prevalent as it was 5 years ago, but still we see them. Themes get submitted because someone wants to put footer links out there. They think that that's helpful. I'm not an SEO guy, so I couldn't tell you. I don't personally think it is, but I don't know. They still try. So we have to make sure that any links in the theme are valid, that they're appropriate. And then, of course, one of the biggest ones is theme security, which I'm sure we'll get into later when we talk about the customizer, but one of the biggest hurdles for theme review is digging through all of the theme options code. And a lot of that options code is custom, or it's theme options frameworks that get used. And we have to make sure that all of that is done properly, that the meeting all of our requirements, that everything's properly sanitized, properly escaped, so that we're not putting anything in end users' hands that is a potential security risk. Those are probably the biggest ones that I look for. And we've got a list of requirements that is thankfully getting shorter as we go on, not longer, that's in the theme review handbook. They'll probably be the best place to point people if they want to see what those are. I don't know if it'd be very useful to try to list them all out.
And Edward, are you, you said you've been with the review team pretty much since the beginning. What are some of the things you look for in terms of reviewing a theme?
Basically, the standards, just like it was, as Chip pointed out, we pretty much came up at the same time. So, yeah, I'm looking for linking, spamming, anything really blatant. Be quite honest, I'm not doing a whole lot of reviews recently because, well, my time is completely swamped with other duties. But when I get in there, I do still go through and basically line by line, check the code, make sure it's good, make sure there's nothing used improperly or potentially spammy or potential security issues or anything along those lines.
And I'll extend the question to you, Jose, because I know you, you're involved with the review process as well, but some of the common things you look for that you might discover, and which means you have to end up sending the thing back to be reviewed again.
What's actually funny is the ones that I do end up finding often is the core functionality ones. They try to rewrite some of the things, like the common one I've seen is post-pagination. You know, they're like, oh, I can create this custom thing, and it's like, well, core already has that. Why not use that?
So just not an improper use of doing something provided by core, right?
Yeah. Obviously, a good example that you probably have seen is using the front page settings. They recreate something that's already been done.
Well, you got to hand it to them. They want to reinvent the wheel that's already there.
Right.
So, Chip, you mentioned there's requirements, but then there's also guidelines, and you say that the requirements are getting shorter. What is the difference between a requirement and a guideline?
So, when we used the codex for all of our documentation, we had what we referred to as the theme review guidelines, and we used certain nomenclature in those guidelines, required and recommended and optional. Things all very familiar from, say, an engineering background, but potentially scary for people not familiar with the background, not very user-friendly to read. So we've simplified that. Tammy's been very helpful in making sure everything we had is very user-friendly to read. As we move into the handbook, we've kind of gotten rid of required and recommended and optional. We just have a list of requirements. We've tried to simplify the only list of requirements. And we'll have some other pages where we expound on those, clarify what they mean. It's one thing to say everything must be GPL compliant, but not everyone knows what that means. So we have information to kind of explain what that means. It's easy to say everything must use core functionality, but not everybody knows what that means. So we'll have code examples, functionality examples to explain what that means. But at the same time, trying to keep the requirements a very simple list of higher level requirements, what themes actually need to meet. The problem we are running into, especially in reviews, people would get inundated with review comments that kind of mixed and matched things that required, things that were recommended, things that were optional, and it's very difficult for developers to kind of understand what was going on and know exactly what they needed to do to ensure that their theme would get approved. So our focus now is on what's actually required, keep everything very clean for the reviewer and for the developer.
And this one's for Tammy. How are these guidelines determined, and do they change on a regular basis?
So I'd have said until maybe a year ago they were relatively fixed. I mean, if a new thing, a new functionality comes out, then we may have to do it. But pretty much since the community summit, we've been refining them. So there was a massive change then. And the way that it happened was we all did the changes because the way that we function is we're very visible. We're visible in Slack, and every single change is voted on. I don't know, there's not been something that hasn't actually been voted on by the whole team. So generally it'd be proposed on the Make blog and then discussed in the meeting and then probably reported back on the Make blog again just to make sure that we've got as many people on as possible. So it's always a process of majority vote. That's the way that we do function. It's not just admins that are allowed to vote.
And one of the most controversial changes to the guideline, actually I think it became a requirement, was the use of the customizer for theme options. I think there was, I think, two ways, and the customizer, there was three ways. There's various ways. They have theme options in there. And, you know, reading the history behind the theme review team and the Make blog, because everything is so public, it was easy to see that at some point it was eventually going to be the way, you know, the default way theme options would be stored. But so not too long ago, the customizer was approved by the theme review team, was voted on that it would be the default way of themes having to produce and show off theme options. What was, and I guess I could refer to Chip to this as well, but what is the main benefit other than its native functionality to use the customizer versus maybe theme authors having their own custom theme options page? And I'll start with Tammy.
Okay. I think we probably cover both angles of this. So I think it's quite important, Chip mentioned this earlier, to also think of the impact of the reviewer. So we can get on to both sides. There's lots of different people involved in this. And the impact of the reviewer reviewing themes which had customizer 101 combinations of different options was time, learning curve, all the things. We recently had a survey, and all the things at the top of the list, such as consistency, time for review, all of those things play a part. But we didn't just make that decision because of reviewers. That's a part of it. And I'll probably pass to Chip to kind of explain the other side of it, because I think it's good that you get more than one perspective on this as well.
So Tammy had mentioned that the role of the theme review team, it has evolved over the years, and that's very much true. For several years now, we've really been trying to focus more on education, educating end users on what to expect in a high-quality theme, educating theme developers on how to implement core functionality, trying to build consensus in the developer community regarding what constitutes a best practice, those sorts of things. I know several of the theme review team have spoken at WordCamps on a lot of topics about theme development. So for the last, oh gosh, a very long time, 3 years, we've been trying to educate people about the settings API. Once the customizer API became available, we've been trying to educate people about that API as well. What we've found, though, is the vast majority of developers, when implementing theme options, would take one of the many very excellent theme option frameworks. There are a lot of them out there. They're all fantastic at what they do. But when they just get dropped into a theme and you build your sort of configuration file and run with it, you don't really learn anything from it. You don't really know the code behind it. And that's a problem for both the theme developer and for the theme reviewer, because it's very difficult to maintain and debug issues if you don't know that code as a developer. It's also very difficult to review that theme as a reviewer. And when you see many themes come in with so many different types of theme options frameworks, then you have to relearn every time you review a theme. The developer has to, especially if the developer hasn't taken the time to understand the code in the first place, and if you point out an issue with something isn't sanitized properly or something isn't escaped properly, and the theme developer doesn't understand what you're saying, then it's like triple time in the review process to educate the developer on what the issue is. There's also the aspect that this is really the direction that the core has indicated that it's heading. We've tried for years to have the settings API built out to be more robust, have less custom code required to use the settings API. But in that same time, all of that effort has gone into providing all of the things into the customizer API. And now you see some of the decisions the core developers are making of how the customizer is going to be used. It really is evident that it's the direction the core wants to go. And one of our principles in the theme review team is that while we may not drive core decisions, we support them. That's why we always require the themes do things in a manner that implement core functionality the way that core implements it. So that kind of lends itself directly to theme options. Of course, giving a very strong signal that theme options should be in the customizer, we're just supporting that decision. And for the developer, it's honestly far easier to learn the customizer API than to learn the settings API. Gosh, 3-4 years ago, probably 3 years ago, I wrote a tutorial on how to implement the settings API into a theme. And it was like a 10-page blog post. And that's how complex it is to try to fully implement the settings API using Euro code, building it from scratch. The customizer, you can do the same thing in about 200 lines of code. So it's far easier for developers to learn the customizer API than it is to learn the settings API. Go ahead.
So with that said, I got to imagine that when you see so much pushback against using the customizer, that you kind of just sit there and scratch your head and go, why? Why is there so much pushback? Because, look, it's only 200 lines of code. It's so much easier. It's built into core. How did you sort of think about that or deal with that, with the amount of theme authors that sort of push back on using the customizer?
Well, from my perspective, and hopefully others will jump in here as well, I know that the community as a whole is much wider than the audience that responded to, say, the Make blog, or to those who responded to the Tavern blog post. So you have to keep it in perspective that those loudest voices may not represent the community as a whole. And even if it does, I think what we need to do and what we've tried to do is focus on education. There were a lot of misconceptions about the customizer API that led a lot of the negative feedback. So we've tried to educate about some of those misconceptions, such as the customizer API isn't as extensible as the settings API, which really isn't true. You can extend the customizer API as much as your imagination will allow you to, just as with the settings API, such as that the customizer API couldn't use as many field types or data types as the settings API. Well, dirty little secret there is the settings API doesn't natively support any type of fields. You have to build them all from scratch anyway, whereas the customizer API has several in core. So those types of things, we've tried to educate about them. We've built a GitHub library that has code examples to help explain to people how to build out the customizer, how to implement it with new settings, with existing settings, how to port them over to the customizer API. So really, education has been our focus in response to a lot of the negative feedback.
I think it's also important, and I think, well, I suspect that most other people on the team also listened. So to listen to both sides as well, I think it's important to, what it did, one of the big things that it did for me was it gave some voices that I'd maybe not heard speak up about theme review, and then we had those people come and join in the Slack conversation, and then come and join in the Make the Blog conversation. So aside from anything else, I think those reactions make us stronger as a team, because then people will, and they have, got involved in the team as well. So I think there is stuff to be taken from it and to listen to both sides of the story as well.
Yeah, I tell you what, after we wrote about the customizer's decision, there was a lot more people with eyeballs on the theme review team. So, you know, it was kind of a weird way to go about it, but...
I don't think that was the intention that any of us had in it, and I think there would have been better ways of doing it if we'd had that intention. But I think it certainly has given more spectrum for voices, and I think the more range of voices that we have on the team, and we have people who make things for a living, we have people who don't make things for a living, and people who do them as a hobby. And I think that kind of colourful spectrum is incredibly important for us as a team. And also not just having people who've been on the team a long time, having newer people, all those kind of spectrum, that's what makes us stronger.
And Jose, as someone who has reviewed a number of themes, do you find it a lot easier and quicker to review a theme that uses the customizer for theme options versus something like something that uses like Redo Framework or something?
There's certain times it is, and what's actually neat to see sometimes is when they actually extend the customizer using their own controls too. So it's like, oh, okay, so I'm learning something new too.
Yeah, okay, and it's like somebody realizing, oh, you know, I'm not just stuck with what Core gives me. I can actually extend a customizer.
Yeah, I actually wrote one the other, I think a couple weeks back, on how to use drop-down pages, but using the, like, templates.
Hmm, that's pretty neat there. And so one of the things after this was sort of a big moment with the whole change to the customizer, sort of it becoming a requirement for theme options pages, and there was a whole lot of discussion that happened afterwards after this decision was made. I happened to sit in on the theme review team Slack channel and got to witness my first ever map bomb. And for anyone who doesn't know what a map bomb is, just read A Year Without Pants by Scott Burke and you'll find out what it is. But essentially, Matt shows up out of the blue and just starts commenting on all kinds of things. it was kind of crazy to watch. And but the thing I took away from that is there appeared to be open dialogue about a lot of things, about processes and data gathering and surveys and trying to find what things can we improve on right now. And the takeaway I had from that map bomb is it seemed to be, you know, if I was on the theme review team, it seemed like a sigh of relief because he sort of gave this permission granted to sort of, hey, if you need something done or you need to do a couple things differently in order to make this process smoother and to increase the directory overall, by golly, let's do it. And there's a lot of things that were discussed, a lot of ideas generated through there, but I'll just start with Tammy. What did overall you and maybe perhaps the team take away from that lively discussion with Matt?
So I'd probably not call it a bomb. What I would label it more as is encouragement, and that's okay. What I think we needed. So we needed... Sometimes you focus on the small things when you're coping with things, and when you're coping with things in a swirl of blog posts and different conversations, sometimes you end up treading water. And I think some of that happened. Now, for me, it was quite a unique experience because I woke up, as I live in Europe, I woke up to all of this. I actually, I'm quite a night owl, and I, looking at the timestamp, I logged off just before all of this happened. It was, to me, it's an incredibly exciting time. And the surveys, to me, are just our first baby step to starting to just ask what people want and not assuming what people want, really. And I think sometimes we all bring our judgments to this, and that's part of it. So I actually think, apart from that, I was actually away in Denmark at the time, but there was also a very good weekly chat that we had, which I caught the end of. It became quite an epic chat. And that's where we just started to think a little bit more in terms of the way that Core does with Core Future plugins. So we started to think of maybe we have a team for tools or sub-team, and we maybe think of that and ways of doing that. And we're starting to have a roadmap, and we're going to have version 2 of that. So we're also having a roadmap meeting next Tuesday where we're going to start kind of putting things more into place. So I just think it's, for me, it's an incredibly exciting time to be part of the theme review team.
And Edward, I know apparently you miss the historic moment. If I mean, I'm playing too much into it, but you've been with the theme review team from the beginning. What are some of the key things that you wish the team had or had available to you or the team to make your jobs easier that it seems like now there's been this green light that maybe the team can have?
Well, yeah, I've been with the team since day one. I was actually the first person to join. And I actually had an opportunity many years ago to talk with Matt face-to-face. You know, he happened to be here in Toronto, and I managed to get a few minutes of his time to say, we need to do something about the, you know, the theme review team and access, and, you know, how do we, you know, what can we do to get improvements? What kind of, you know, can we get a liaison to, you know, to WordPress.org? What's available to us? Fortunately, that conversation didn't go anywhere. It was brief. He's always busy, always surrounded, so I didn't really expect to get a lot from it, but I did want to make sure he was aware of it. Missing this Matt bomb, apparently weeks ago, and now given that the impression is there's a green light across the board, then yeah, there's a lot of things that we could use. There's a lot of things that the community has asked for. Everything from equality to the plugin repository where theme authors have SVN access rather than going through track and uploading. And if it's a minor typo fix, they have to upload a brand new version. Things like that are actually really detrimental to the system as far as I see it. Does that mean we have to have SVN access? No. What we have done is improve the process, but it's still, it's a typo. Do you really need to do that? You know, do you really need a brand new version number because you're a little pedantic about how you spell things and wanted to fix that typo of, you know, the instead of T-E-H? No, you don't need a new version. I don't want to digress too far on that. The other things that we need are education. And we now have the Make blog where we can post a lot more. We have more open access to the community, and the community has access back to us, which wasn't there before. The surveys that we were just put together and then subsequently published with those results, share back to say, what do you want? And we'll see what we can do about it. These are options that were really never made clear to the team for the first couple of years. We were basically working in a little vacuum that we didn't know what we could do, and we weren't getting much direction from core, whether you use speak of core as .org or speak of core as automatic or want to use whatever umbrella term you like. We had nothing. Now we're getting eyes on. We're getting eyes on from the community. We're getting eyes back from core. We're getting eyes back from, as far as I know, you know, key developers and committers for core as well. There's better communication between the various teams that are building WordPress. Those are the things that we asked for in the beginning. Those are the things that we fought for at times and ran into brick walls, and sometimes it was just a simple walk in the park. So,
I could just imagine the progress, or you know, the state of the repository or theme directory. Either one works for me. What it would be like today if you had those things a few years ago? I wonder if it would be sort of a whole new experience by now.
I think that if we were given the green lights that we're getting or appear to be getting now, even 2 years ago, not like 5 years ago when basically this all started and really started picking up steam and running, is that it would be a completely different situation. Like the whole theme directory, like the revamp that was done would have been done years ago. You know, I'm not saying that the theme review team had anything at all to do with the revamping of the theme directory that was just recently done. Great work. Really adds a lot of positive stuff to that repository, but I think that would have been viewed as being something we needed to do or that was needed to be done by .org or Automatic or whoever wanted to make the decision at the time years ago. And it would have really improved the theme repository and given authors a place to say, hey, this is a really cool-looking place that I want to showcase my theme at. There's a lot more that can still be done. There's a lot more that can be added to the mix for theme review team and things that the theme review team can offer, maybe even just drop the review out of it. You know, we can become the theme team and just promote WordPress themes via the WordPress repository. That's really where it all started from. That's where it was supposed to stem from.
That's a superhero group I can get behind, the theme team. We'll have to get like a cool intro and outro. But Chip, I know you were there. You witnessed it. You had interactions with Matt. Are you pleased with the outcome? Are you pleased to see that finally you're able to make progress on things you've been wanting now for years?
I think it's a really positive step. And the floodgates opened when Matt said, hey, it's all just code. What do you want to do? What can you do differently? A lot of the biggest roadblocks, ideas, things that have inhibited improvement would be related to the theme directory itself. And the theme review teams never had any access into input into control over the actual theme directory itself. So having some of that opened up to us, if we want to improve the tag filter system, if we want to eliminate altogether and move into something much more useful for tagging and filtering themes for searching, if we want to explore the idea of having different tiers in the directory of sort of a low-level tier of things, themes that pass an automated review, that they may not be, you know, have all the bells and whistles, be the best of the best, and then have another tier of things that have, you know, human reviewed and they're all best practices and really what we would promote as best of the best. Maybe that's something that we can do now that we haven't been able to do in the past. Exploring ways to make uploading and maintaining themes easier for developers, especially for developers who have proven that they're trustworthy, they know what they're doing. If we can simplify that process for them, we want to be able to do that. And we at least have the green light now to explore a lot of those things. A lot of the things that really create some of the issues in why the lead time is so long in the review queue, trying to eliminate some of that and eliminate the headaches for everyone, reduce the barrier to entry without reducing the quality of the themes in the directory. And a lot of the things that have held us back now, so what's really exciting for me is that now pretty much any question can be asked, and if it's just code and somebody wants to code it, we've kind of got the implicit green light that we can explore it. So that really is exciting, and I look forward to see where we go from there.
So the theme review team, as Tammy had mentioned earlier, sent out three different surveys, and those surveys basically asked users questions such as, how do they install themes? Where do they go to install the themes, via back end or the theme directory? Which I thought was an interesting data point because it was almost half and half. What are some of the data points, Tammy, that you gleaned from the various surveys that you presented?
So I think it's probably worth saying that these survey results are actually up on the Make blog, so make.wordpress.org/themes. And I guess kind of going through each one, so the using things from WordPress.org, I think that was it kind of gave some results I guess we all kind of expected, that a lot of people had an issue with the demo and preview, and that's something that's going to be worked on. So not looking like the final theme. So when you go and look at a theme, of course, what you want to be able to do is look at the screenshot, the demo, the preview, or wherever you want to do it, and be able to judge what you're doing. You know, you want to either try before you buy. That's actually an English phrase. I don't know if that translates, but you want to be able to see what you're getting, and if you don't do that, then it's either maybe a good surprise, but generally it's not a good surprise when you actually do the theme. A lot of people were downloading more than one theme, so I think that's quite interesting. I always describe themes should be like fashion, and I think that's maybe what it's becoming like. Moving on to the directory survey, I think that this was the kind of bigger survey, and we actually had 206 results, responses for it. There was a lot of different people using things. There were people using underscores, which was great to see. But there was also the tagging and filter system, and it really feels that we're not getting those right. So a lot of the, for example, the color filter is just not being used by people. And that kind of makes sense with things like child themes and custom CSS. And also the columns filter, that really wasn't getting picked up either. So I think it's changed a lot of our perspective about how, and we're actually going through at the moment, one of our team people, Ulrich, he's actually looking at just reviewing the tags. We might add them, but we've got a lot of redundancy in there, a lot of tags which people just aren't using. And then finally, for me, one of the surveys that I actually thought was incredibly important for us to do was, what is it actually like to have your theme reviewed? We all have our own biases. I have themes reviewed that I put up through Automatic, but I don't necessarily experience it from a brand new user, or I don't experience it outside of who I am. And a lot of the feedback was pretty much some of the stuff we knew. Some of this is easy and some of this is harder to hear, but things like review time, the fact that we needed automation, we needed to be better at communicating. We needed to have a a more of a training process for our reviewers so that we could get some consistency. And that our documentation, even though we have made a lot of improvements, still wasn't there for some people. So to me, that's kind of a short of a long-winded, there's a lot of it on the make blog. But it kind of clarified a lot of things, but it also started what I hope, and I know, actually I don't hope, because I know we will be doing more surveys. And I think what we're also going to be doing is when we are thinking about doing something, because there's going to be a lot of plans and a lot of ideas, we're probably going to ask people about what we're going to do a little bit more.
So essentially, from all that information, it sort of helped you create more like a roadmap.
Yeah, so that information and generally nearly 6 weeks of talks in our Slack channel have created a roadmap. And we've had some incredibly good conversations, I think. We've had some difficult conversations, but some good conversations around different topics. We try to discuss through a lot of the different topics that have come up. And that's forming the roadmap. And so we're going to have version 2 of the roadmap. We actually have a brief version 1, but we need to kind of revise that based on conversations. And that would be around the weekend on Monday, and then we'll be discussing it again on Tuesday, get a final one, and actually just start doing things, which I think that's when the difficult work and the positive work happens.
It was interesting to see the data point in the surveys, which I nodded my head when I saw so many people agree, but the biggest beef I have with the theme directory is the previews, the demos. You see a preview image of the theme, and you click a demo, and it's like, wow, that looks nothing like the image. What's going on there? And I know that Otto and the team, and it's been one of those things that's been talked about and discussed. Even, you know, a lot of plugin authors out there say, well, why don't you just allow links to custom theme demos on a theme author's website? And the issue there is, well, you have to police the links, it could be changed, things of that nature. Is there any work on the horizon towards improving the demo content or the way a theme could really, so people could see 100% what that theme is supposed to look like?
So is that to me? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So cool. There actually is some, Otto's been doing some work on bringing the customizer up front, and that to me is really, really exciting, because that means you can then really play around with how it looks. But I think that's going to be a main focus. Is there any work happening right this second? What Otto doing his experiment, which I hope bears fruit and becomes really interesting, you know, having that customizer. But also, I imagine that's going to be one of the I'm talking almost like the core have feature plugins. I don't know what we would call it, but whatever we call it. It's similar to that. I would imagine that's definitely on the roadmap. That's one of the points on the roadmap, and that's absolutely going to be something that I know there's a lot of people excited about doing that. That's actually something, all of this stuff isn't just reviewing, so it's things that other people could get involved in we need developers, we need people with tools, we need all those kind of things as well as people doing reviews. So I think it also opens up the theme review team to not just be about people that want to just do reviews.
Awesome. Marcus, I know you had a question, right?
Well, I have a number, but in the sense of the types of themes that are being submitted, what do you think is lacking in the directory as far as what do you see out there as a need that's not being met in terms of a theme? And any of you can answer this.
Yeah, I'll go. At least I have some ideas on it.
Sure.
Niche themes. Almost all the themes that go in and that I look at are all fairly generic. They're meant
and almost
for
business
everybody.
Too.
Yeah. It's like everyone's trying to, it's like in all things to all people, and I think some authors should maybe look at doing a little bit more niche work, something that's a little bit more directed.
So
it can be used by everybody.
Examples?
Instead of, I don't know, how about something for a vet?
Yeah.
How about something for any of the medical professions? Optometrists, doctors, anybody that does medicine. There's no real medical flavor, so to speak. That's just one example. How about construction companies? Sure, everyone does business themes, but they're thinking business, you know, as in Wall Street kind of business. That's how they all look to me. They look like someone's just you know, spit out the latest business GQ, and there you go, there's a theme for business. Well, why not fine-tune that? You know, and I'd like to see authors saying this theme, and in their description, it's fairly open to what they can put in that description text to say, hey, this theme is ideally suited for this niche. You know, have at it. Give it a try. It doesn't mean it has to be used for that niche, but no one's trying to use that. No one's trying to go there. I'd really like to see that kind of thing start to happen in the theme repository, and then we can start working on other things that the community has been asking for, like improving the tags, adding more, because, well, now there's something to add more for.
Yeah, I would say that the most used niche in all of the directories as far as specific businesses would be restaurants. I think there's probably 20 or so different themes just for restaurants. But you bring up some valid points as far as some of the other ones that are severely underserved at this point.
So I would love to, sorry.
Go ahead, Tammy.
I would love to see more niche themes, but I also kind of like the crazy themes. I don't know. We have the freedom to do that, and I've mentioned earlier about themes being fashion. I kind of like themes that do things a little bit differently. Maybe it's for your holiday, or maybe it's for some incredible illustration, or maybe it's doing some unusual. We can do so much with layouts now. It's just themes that are thinking beyond the box kind of web, and also themes that respond to different devices really well. So not just responsive, themes that go that extra mile and create a really adaptive experience. I think that's really important. Responsive has kind of been the drum that's getting beaten, but that's not where it really should end. So I'd just like to see more kind of, more the crazy stuff and more just really pushing what we can do as well. There's a lot you can do and still meet the requirements.
I think WordPress Core has a lot of really great features, many of which are severely underused. One example would be post formats.
I could have guessed that if you would have given me a try.
I know.
Well, it was fun.
I know Jeff loves
post formats. Are too much fun with post formats. They shouldn't be pigeonholed.
That's the thing. You can do so many amazing things. You think outside the box a little bit. There's a lot of power in post formats. Maybe you want to develop something that's for photographers, for any sort of professional photographer, a hobby photographer, a vacation or travel photographer. You've got a post format that's ideally suited to make a theme around that niche. Same thing for video, especially audiovisual, anything audiovisual. There's a lot of power there that doesn't get used. I'd like to see more people using those kinds of things. Maybe make a theme that's designed to kind of tie in with other social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, that you can use post formats for. There are a lot of really creative people out there that can think of a lot of better ideas than I can. I'd like to see those married with core features more.
So would you be sad that there is now a track ticket just for a discussion on a proposal to remove post formats from Core and turn it into a plugin?
Not shocked to hear.
Honestly, no, because I think part of the reason post formats aren't used is because there's simply not enough standardization under the hood for types of data, how those data are stored and recalled. It could use a lot of work to improve it. So it wouldn't make me that sad at all. Actually, I'd be excited if it were improved and then pulled back into Core.
And that's sort of the way I feel about it, that, A, I wouldn't mind if they were ripped out of Core, but put into a feature plugin, and then get them to a point that makes sense to where PostFormance version 2 is what PostFormance version 1 should have been all along. I'd be excited about that. And, you know, my biggest issue with PostFormance is that when you preview a post, you see the single post view of the post, and you don't see it in its post-formatted view, and it drives me nuts because I can't predict how the post will look. So that's just sort of my personal beef there on post-formats. So let's see. Any other questions, Marcus?
Well, I would say, you know, what do you as the team regard as the coolest theme presentation style out there? Is it Theme Forest? Or, I mean, dare to say, but I mean, who do you think has all the bells and whistles right now that would make an ideal model to pattern the new theme repository after?
Shall I answer first of all? I don't actually think anywhere. So I think we are in a really good position to look at every single marketplace. So I don't think we should copy any particular marketplace. We have a very particular use case. And I think that we should look at every single, even if it's tiny, marketplace, and be looking at every single, a marketplace and directory can be a bit different because we're not necessarily selling. So also to look at every single different in and outside of WordPress, which I think is important as well, and just take the best of the best, really. Find out the user paths, which is the way that people are using our directory, which is probably different from the way that other people use in directory. And mind, so to me, this is I do kind of err on the UX side, and this is that's what we need to do. We need to be not necessarily seeing Bob's directory is the way to go, or whatever we want to call it, because we should be finding out exactly what our directory is. We should be learning from all these different directories and then focusing on making the best that what we're doing can be, not a copy of something else.
That's a good answer. Anybody else want to weigh in on that? Agree, disagree? Sounds like everybody's in consensus.
The answer is no. Yeah, we need everybody to hit a buzzer.
I'd agree that, there's no great model out there right now to follow for a theme repository or directory or marketplace. It's still, although the repository is old, it just went through a refresh. That doesn't mean it can't go through a refresh again and again and again until we find the right method to really showcase things.
Iteration for the win.
That's it.
So I look at, say, something like Amazon or Newegg and the way that you can filter and view results and really fine-tune what you're looking for. I would want to emulate something like that. It would help if people are looking for something very specific that we provide them the tools to find it. And I honestly can't really speak to many other theme marketplaces or directories because honestly I don't really spend much time there. But that's what I would like to see. And I think that's what the users are telling us, are starting to tell us through some of these surveys, is they need better ways to sort through the many themes. And one of the wins of the theme review team is the sheer number of themes that are available in the directory directly from your WordPress admin. Well, now we need a way to filter those themes so that users can really find what they're looking for. And something else that WordPress has that no other marketplace has is that search from your WordPress admin. And as the customizer gets...
Quick, move to the other side of the desk.
Uh-oh.
There you go. Okay, you're back.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes.
So you can search directly from the WordPress admin, and as the customizer gets built more and more into the workflow, you can preview what your site looks like on any theme in the directory before you ever even install it or make it active. You can see if you like it or not with your own real data, and that's kind of where things are going. And I think that's very powerful and something that is a big win for WordPress versus any other directory or marketplace.
I like that feature. However, half the time the menus don't align with what the previous theme did. Obviously, the sidebars and things like that rarely match up, and the CSS is off. So there's those components that I dislike about that particular preview. But, I mean, it is valuable, as you said, to have that right within WordPress. Now, anybody who listens to the show knows that one of my biggest beefs about the repository in general, whether we're talking about plugins or themes, is the lack of a social component. We talk about having the biggest community of any CMS, yet we have no way to interact with each other regarding some of these common tools and applications and themes that we use all the time. And that's what I'd like to see, is more of a social component to where even those that log in through their WordPress dashboard are still accounted for. You can still keep something in favorites and all that, and then people will be able to, you know, not only view what your favorites are, but you know, also maybe even discuss some of these things if you've got particular plugins and themes installed to ask questions. So those are all valid comments. I appreciate that.
And, you know, Marcus, that's something that until the infamous Matt bomb, our only answer would be we really have no access to the theme directory. Whereas right. Now, we actually had the opportunity to say, hey, that's a great idea. Let's see what we can do to implement it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested with what you're saying about socials. So do you mean, because I'm always interested in getting different opinions, do you mean just favorites, or do you mean maybe even recommending a theme to a friend, that kind of?
Sure.
Is that what you're thinking of? Oh, so just sure. Everything. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, as a, you know, we've got all of us have WordPress, you know, repository usernames and things that we use. Why not expose that? Why not, you know, get the most common favorites of the week or something like that and compile that into charts that get displayed? Favorite new plugins, new and notable, things like that. More of an iTunes store type of a feel to some of these things, to where, you know, the ultimately the consumer, or that would be the developer in this case, gets
so
maybe
kind of
a
like
better
what
sense.
Justin had, right? A curated repository.
Not necessarily curated. I would say moreover based upon social activity that happens within the community in WordPress itself. So get some sort of statistics that, you know, the most downloaded this week, the most, you know, the most favorited this week, the most commented plugins this week, good or bad, and start the conversation going and at least give some people a sense of what's hot now rather than the same continual list of 12 plugins and 5 themes that get on the recommended list.
So what do you, not to kind of sidetrack too long, but what do you think was gained from showing the bad? In that, I can see the positive. I'm just wondering what you think is gained from the bad in that as well.
Well, in this business, often we are tied into clients and doing client work mm-hmm. and client sites and installing themes and plugins that may have issues that we're not aware of if we're not part of that conversation. Definitely has has value to it if we can get alerted to something like that. Or if there are particular issues with compatibilities of plugins or things within the topic of conversation. I mean, those are the fundamentals of mm-hmm. social sharing, is that root discussion about the particular subject. So I would love to see that conversation happen. I'd first like to see the good. I mean, obviously
okay.
That's like the
yeah.
starting point. But
so I could see filtering by ratings, but I think maybe a table of the bad things, that's probably something I'd say.
Yeah,
may
maybe a
not.
Sortable list of
yeah.
issues, favorites.
So I would love to
like
extend
that.
Out for you to come and get involved in that, in the directory, because we're open to that.
Sure. Be happy to.
Well, Marcus, you put on your contributor badge right now, buddy. All right.
Yeah.
So I wanted just really quickly, I'll go down the list. Everyone remove their theme review team badges or hats and just give me your personal opinion because I have mine. Is there any particular theme author that you've seen that just knocks it out of the park routinely in terms of themes that just quickly go through the approval process and have a great display, great way to present content? And I'll start with you, Chip. And no, you're just don't say your theme.
No, I wouldn't say my team. Not, I'm very proud of my team, but it's not really. It serves a very niche purpose. Honestly, I'm gonna punt this one. I don't.
Anybody else? Maybe Jose.
There's one that I actually saw the other day that was actually really neat, but I can't remember his name.
you're running Wi-Fi issues, Edward. You?
Nothing.
No, I don't have anyone that stands out particularly. Obviously, that anyone that knows what they're doing of any quality, and pretty much anyone on the team would you know be able to do it. It's just submit a theme and have it pass. But we've got lots and lots of experience both doing it and seeing it. But otherwise, no, I really don't have a particular author that's standing out at the moment. Not that there's a bad one or just no good ones. There's lots of great authors. I just don't have one in particular.
Well, on the tavern, in particular Sarah Gooding. We've reviewed there's quite a few great looking WordPress themes that are submitted to the directory. And one of my favorite theme authors, I don't think there's a theme he's created that I don't like, is Anders Norin, or Anders Norin.
How did I know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd also say that's a great example of someone that's learned their theming through and the directory. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even mention that topic, that there's an ability here, the theme review team, to go through the process if you're just sort of getting started, or if you're just don't really know for sure if this is right or not, the theme review team actually becomes this training course of back and forth between fixing tickets, fixing issues, and going through the review process that, yeah, like you said, it could be a great educational resource in learning how to do things the proper or mostly correct way in WordPress just by going through that review process.
It's made a lot of people be the theme. It's made me be the theme I am today, going through that process. So, yeah, that's the value that I don't think is known as much or seen as much.
And does the team ever put out things like through WordPress.tv or anything like that in regards to your review process or what would make things better or examples of good and bad intentions within themes?
A lot of different people. I've spoken at WordCamps about it, and there's a lot of us have spoken at WordCamps about it. So there's an awful lot of different information out there. We've spoken recently about doing some, I think we're going to start the accessibility, doing some hangouts to mainly get people learning how to do accessibility review, which the byproduct of any review means you get to know how to do it for your theme. So, so you'll actually be able to make your theme accessible then. And we've also spoken about doing other hangouts. And I think that we did a few for the designer. We had a design focus. And part of that, we did just some hangouts, just some chats, and I think doing more of that in the future. As was mentioned earlier, I think it was by Edward was mentioned earlier, the more that we automate, the more that we have tools, the more we actually have the ability to educate, to get out there, to raise the standard theming together. All of us are completely nerdy about theming, so all of us want theming to be as awesome as it can be.
And I'll go ahead, Marcus.
Well, I was going to say, it'd be also nice, not only your WordCamp presentations, but it'd be great to have you just do some screencasts where you just spend 5 minutes talking about one particular subject, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and in fact, the theme review team and Tammy and I believe Justin was in on this too. Justin Talak is also a member of the team. I remember you guys had design sprints or theme review sprints or a theme challenge.
Yeah, we had a design challenge. That went really well, and I think we'd like to do. We spoke about doing an accessibility one, and I definitely think that would be good. The whole idea of the design challenge was to one, link up designers with people who maybe if they can develop. So not all designers are also developers. A lot are in the theme perspective, but the ones that aren't, that we shouldn't limit them being able to have a theme in the repo. And there's developers who aren't designers, so it's a way to kind of match people up together and create some. We had some good themes out of that. I definitely would be down for some more of those. I think we've got a lot of things to deal with, and that's where the roadmap comes into place. But definitely, once we've kind of fix a little bit more of the infrastructure, I can see us doing more and more of those things.
Excellent. So, Chip, the last question is up to you. You're going to represent the team here. I want you to let our listeners know how they can get involved and contribute and be part of the theme review team, or maybe just help out, maybe just be part of the conversation.
Well, if you're going to put that kind of pressure on me, I appreciate you giving me a soft pick. The two primary ways to get involved with the theme review team, almost everything we do are these two areas. The Make Themes blog, which is make.wordpress.org/themes, where we hold all of our discussions. It's where you can find out when our weekly meetings are, what the meeting agendas are, if we're going to vote on certain issues, if we're discussing requirements, if we're discussing best practices, if we publish tutorials. All of that is on the Make Themes blog. And the other place, of course, is the WordPress themes Slack channel, which you can find through the normal WordPress Slack memes. Anywhere else, we pretty much abandoned. We don't use the IRC channel anymore. The mail list was shut down when Slack came online. So if you want to get involved, those two places, really, that's it. We would love to have everyone participate. As Tammy is very fond of pointing out, we want more voices. We want more points of view. We want more input and feedback. It makes us better. It helps us improve our process. And it generally lets us know that we're on the right track. So please come join us.
Yeah, and I just wanted closing thoughts here. The WordPress.org theme directory, I've been involved in WordPress now for a number of years, six, seven, I don't know, I've lost count already. But there used to be this reputation of, that's where you go to get crap. You know, that's where the crap WordPress themes are. You go there, they don't look very nice, who knows how they're coded, but that's, you know, you kind of want to avoid that place, even though generally you probably won't get something that has malware in it. Well, over the last couple of years, three or four years, especially since the involvement of the WordPress theme review team, everyone involved in the team has stepped up the game. Developers, the types of themes on there are, you know, there's a variety of themes on there, even though we know some niches need to be filled. But overall, the quality, the design, I mean, it really is the safest place to go to get a great quality theme that's gone through a set of standards and checks. So you're almost guaranteed, or you should probably 100% guarantee, that it will work with WordPress out of the box. You probably won't have to worry about theme lock-in if you switch from one theme on the directory to another. So with all that said, I just want to say great job, you know, to the whole team, and I enjoy and appreciate the work that you do, especially the volunteers, even you, Tammy, who's employed by Automatic, but you spent some time contributing to this area of WordPress. So thank you to you, too. So I just want to say thanks to everything and all you do, and keep up the great work. Yeah, they're speechless, Marcus.
Yeah, we got them.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I just want to say thanks again to Chip Bennett and Edward Cassie, Jose, and Tammy Lister for being on the show today and giving all of us and our listeners and me some insight into, you know, what the theme is, what the team does, and I'll be sure to post the relevant links in the show notes to keep everyone informed. Thanks a lot, everybody, for joining us on the show, and have a good rest of the day.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. So, Marcus, in terms of news of the week, there's only one story I want to talk about, and it's not really news per se about the WordPress software, but it is a post by Tom McFarlane entitled "The WordPress Community: A Comedy of Drama, Ego, Oligarchies." How do you say?
And oligarchy.
More. Yeah. Oligarchies. Yeah. Okay. And more. So the article pretty much lays out that it's a post that says, hey, community, stop. Whatever you're doing, stop. Look in the mirror and just calm down. Take a deep breath. And there's some things that have been going on in the community the past few months with conversations where people were being snarky with each other. There's some personal attacks being flung around. There are the people who can't agree to disagree. There's pitchforks, you know, especially this hotbed topic around the customizer. Boy, there's some haters and some lovers, but they just can't seem to melt or stay together. And the post is just sort of a highlight of come on, you know, we could be better than this. We can all be better, and maybe let's not be this type of community. We can all be better with this. And I think it was a great sort of one of those inward-looking moments to say, hey, you know, let's stop what we're doing. Let's stop fussing over this. I mean, arguments are good. Disagreements are good, sometimes lead to positive change, but to do it endlessly and to say these attacks and to throw people under the bus and just be non-productive, I mean, it doesn't benefit anyone. So Tom, I'm going to link this up. He made a great post, and it's worth reading if you're involved or in any way seriously involved with WordPress, especially if you have a business or just sort of tied into the community a little bit. Definitely something to read. And I do have an announcement to make. I actually got in touch with Tom, and sometime next week, him and I are going to get together. It won't be on WordPress Weekly, it'll be like an aside, and we're going to get together, we're going to have a conversation about this post and some of the other topics that are tied into it, because he's written some other posts in the past, like how the WordPress community, the first thing we like to do or tell people is, hey, you're doing it wrong, which is totally not cool. You know, it's immediately being dismissive of what people are doing is not the way to go about it. And he's also written a number of other posts about community and, you know, we're better than this. So we're going to talk about that sometime next week. I'll probably write about it on the Tavern, but I'm seriously looking forward to having that conversation. And outside of that, Marcus, your thoughts on that before we get to the plugin picks of the week?
Well, his blog post is basically an inward question, which is, are we who we say we are? Is the community? We all say we have a great community, but do we act like good community people? Are we good citizens of the community? And I'll admit, I have gotten off the track a couple of times when it comes to the community.
As have I.
And certain things and certain reactions to things that probably didn't contribute to the conversation constructively at all. So I raised my hand on that one as guilty as well. But that it's really, you know, it's just software, people. It's you know, it's not, this isn't even like a Windows versus Mac thing. This is a content management platform that we use to either further our own productions or of those of a client. So let's be serious about what it is and how we can advance it and stop the little trolling and chitter chatter amongst each other about what good people are trying to create out there.
I was talking to Michelle Schulp, and she's of Martime Media, and I think she said it best when this is a people problem. It's not a WordPress problem. It's not a software problem. It's a people problem, and it's the people that have to fix it. And I thought that was a great way to put it. I mean, it makes complete sense, and it's very concise. No, and absolutely. Until we're going to have to deal with people in the WordPress community until WordPress becomes self-aware and starts coding itself, which could be interesting.
It sounds like the Terminator movie that came out today.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something? WordPress, self-aware, writing itself. Oh, boy, that could be an awesome movie. So let's wrap it up here, Marcus, and do our plug-in picks of the week.
You got it. First off the gates here, Plugin Grouper is a cool new plugin. Just came out. It provides the ability to group similar plugins into one or more defined groups. So it helps to keep your plugins organized into specific categories. For instance, if you want to group all your WooCommerce plugins all together, or your paid plugins versus the free ones, or something like that, whichever you choose, this plugin makes it very easy to create plugin folders and keep these plugins within that folder, which is really cool. It's called Plugin Grouper. Not like the fish either. The next one is WordPress Import YouTube Liked Videos. Pretty to the point, I would say. It's pretty succinct as far as a description. It lets you automatically import the videos that you like on YouTube and brings them in as a custom post type via cron job. So it works automatically on the back end. You don't really have to do anything except go watch YouTube and like some things. Pretty cool plugin. It's called WordPress Import YouTube Liked Videos. And finally, Jeff, this one is called Author Chat. It's brand new, and it's a handy little dashboard widget that you can now add to the WordPress administration area. It allows you to chat between authors or admins or basically whoever has access to the back end dashboard. And all the chat data logs are stored in the database, so it allows you the option to throttle how many days back in chat history you want to take a look at. I thought it was a pretty cool way to send a fast message over to others on the site without having to leave the dashboard. And the nice thing is it works in real time, just like a real chat room does. So if both or several parties are logged into the dashboard at the same time, you can chat back and forth to each other on what it is that you're going to work on. So it's nice for developers or if you want to give particular directions or something like that, it's a nice little notepad that you can leave there, and once they log in, they can take a look at that particular widget. So it's called Author Chat, and those are my plug-in picks of the week.
So next Wednesday evening, and I did say evening, we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled programming, which is 9:30 Eastern time. Boy, I almost forgot. It's been so long. But Marcus, we're going to have Corey Miller on. He's going to return to the show. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, I met Corey on Sunday at WordCamp Orange County while you were heaving in your hotel room from norovirus.
Thanks. You reminded me again. Why do you do that?
I don't know, but I saw him at the business workshop that was run by Steve Zanget, Chris Lemma, had Mendel Curlin, a couple other people on the dais, and I was really intrigued by Corey's story, and then he wrote that post about, I don't know if it's mental illness,
within
the WordPress organization or just the lifestyle in general that we all adhere to. And I thought he would be a very good guest to bring on board because he covers a number of topics, not only from the posts that he's written, but also how to run a business on the internet and some of the perils and successes that he's had equally within iThemes. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that next week.
So that'll be next week, 9:30 Eastern Time. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffrO0. Marcus?
Go to my website at MarcusCouch.com and also on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Thank you very much. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening.